Tell us, how does a group of students from California wind up trekking across the country and working on Habitat for Humanity homes here in the first state?
Well, on the campuses in the California State University system, there's an organization that's called Associated Students Incorporated, which is affiliated with the student governments, and it's funded in part with the activity fee that students pay along with their tuition, their room and board, and so on. And this group organizes a lot of student activities during the course of the year, and that includes travel and enrichment opportunities during the spring break. For about 15 years, the students at the California State at San Marcos, that list of activities has included working at a Habitat for Humanity site somewhere in the country.
So having said that, how do they choose this destination for the students rather than maybe somewhere a little bit more temperate, so more spring breaky?
Well, the organizers of the trip told me that one objective is to choose a place where students from Southern California aren't likely to have visited before, a place where the climate is a bit different, a place where there are some tourist attractions nearby, a place that's easily accessible by air so the travel doesn't take up too much of their spring break time. The Philadelphia Airport is close enough. Delaware's weather, certainly different, though this week's change might be a little bit more than they had bargained for. And the students were able to check out some historic sites and landmarks in Philadelphia and in Washington, D.C. before they settled down to work in Wilmington.
So what were some of the reasons the students gave for deciding to spend their spring break this way as opposed to, you know, the typical spring break?
Well, yeah, it was kind of interesting. One of the young ladies who was part of the trip said, well, you know, all of my friends are in Vegas or Mexico this week. But anyway, their motivations varied. Some had been on habitat projects or had done construction work before and they really liked it. Others thought this would be something new and different for them to do. A couple thought that this would be a bonding experience, working together with a new group of people for a week. They can make some new friends. And some wanted to see another part of the country. But, you know, underneath it all was one common thread. They wanted to help others, to give back to those who aren't quite as fortunate, and they were impressed by Habitat's mission of providing affordable housing for families with low to moderate incomes.
So work-wise, what were their goals for this week? What were they trying to get accomplished in this project?
Well, for students, broadly speaking, it was to learn some new construction skills so they might be able to accomplish some of these projects on their own later on. For Habitat in New Castle County, the goal was to move ahead with a couple of projects that they had already started. Had the weather been better, the students would have likely worked at Hope Run, which is a four-townhouse project on Wilmington's east side. But the snow made it impractical for them to work on the next step there, which would have been getting the trusses for the roofing in place. So they started out with an insulation project, working on a duplex on West Street in Wilmington, not far from Riverview Cemetery, that Habitat had acquired as part of a foreclosure a year or so ago.
And in your piece, you did tell us a little story, speaking of the weather, about how some of them reacted to the weather we had this week. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, yeah. When I was over there on Tuesday morning, the students had to wait in the other half of the duplex, which another Habitat crew had previously finished a while back, while the city building inspector came in and checked the half of the building that they would be working on before they could start doing the insulation. Well, just as the inspector finished up his work, the students were ready to go over next door and swing into action, and then they looked outside and they saw the snow starting to fall. You know, and for about half of the group, this was the first time ever that they had seen snow. So they rush outside, they pull out their phones from their pockets, and they started making their own videos of the moment. Really, really exciting time for them.
Sometimes we forget that there are people who have never seen snow before.
No, you're right. And this was the case for about half of the group. They just had never been in this sort of climate where they'd seen snow. They've grown up and lived most of their lives in Southern California.
They certainly got their fair share of snow coming here this week. On a more serious note, having volunteers like this has got to be a big deal for Habitat, right? I mean, this is for them to have this kind of extra labor coming in is good news, though.
Absolutely. I mean, Habitat does rely heavily on volunteers. The organization is best known for requiring its prospective homeowners to invest some of this sweat equity, putting in time helping to build their future home or to work on some other projects nearby. But that's hardly enough to get all their work done. So all sorts of volunteers pitch in from time to time. Church groups, college students, teams from local businesses, a crew from a local building construction company helped out with them on a project a couple of weeks ago even. And the habitat site superintendents, they're used to training these volunteers, showing them what they have to do to handle every task in a project. Now, Kevin Smith, the Habitat Executive Director for Newcastle County, says he gets 8 to 10 volunteer groups that come in from other parts of the country each year. But this group from California had by far the greatest distance to travel.
So how busy is Habitat for Humanity locally right now?
Well, in Newcastle County, Habitat does 12 to 15 houses a year. That's a combination of new construction and pretty much total rehabilitations of other buildings. It also does 5 to 8 smaller projects, you know, major repairs of homes for low-income families. And it has lately branched into some new areas, things like exterior beautification, facade painting, clearing vacant lots, and a lot of times these clearing vacant lot projects end with a community-based cleanup that gets all of the neighbors involved and brings them together as well.
Peace also notes that this branching out that Habitat is doing also includes their work on something else you've reported on recently, and that is the Wilmington Land Bank and some of the work it's doing.
Yes, the work with the Land Bank is still in its early stages. I mean, until the city of Wilmington created the Land Bank, Habitat would have to hold on to the properties it acquired, board them up, protect them against vandalism, take care of all the maintenance and so on, until they were ready to begin work. Now the Land Bank is going to be taking over that role throughout the city. And that enables Habitat to focus on what it does best, which is fixing old houses and building new ones, while the Land Bank deals with the business of acquiring the rundown properties and handling the maintenance until the developer is ready to go to work. Habitat still has a few dozen homes in its inventory, and it has to rehab them before it can maximize its collaboration with the Land Bank. They did swing one deal in the last month or so. Habitat had owned most of a vacant block on East 22nd Street, not far off Market. And all but the lots, they owned all but the lots that included two abandoned homes. The Land Bank acquired those two lots with the abandoned homes and had the homes demolished. And as a result, now that entire block is ready for Habitat to go and start a new construction project.
It's interesting to see how these stories tend to connect from time to time. But I do want to go back as we finish to the students. Did they seem to enjoy their time here in the First State and what they were doing on their spring break?
Well, yeah, I mean, they seem to be. I mean, the weather was, you know, certainly going to be a limitation on their sightseeing. I'm really not sure, you know, how much of Wilmington's great midweek nightlife they were going to be able to absorb. But, you know, they were pleased with the accommodations. They wound up having to stay at a hotel up on Concord Pike, and they seemed to be liking that. They had smiles on their faces. They asked me a lot of questions about the area, things to do and what it was like and, you know, how unusual this week's weather was compared to what's normal. And they were intent on having a good time, come snow or come shine.